Chapter 20. I awoke in a dark place. It was like the inside of a warehouse or a big underground garage, all black, with a smooth, even floor and a pool of bleak, sterile radiance in the middle of it that came from a source I could not see or identify. I felt like hell and looked down to see myself covered in scratches, bruises, welts, blood, bandages, and ill-fitting clothing. I wore none of my implements or devices, and there was a curious sense of distance between me and the pain of my injuries. I was more than aware of them, but they seemed to be something that was merely noted in passing and unimportant to my life as a whole. I stood just outside the circle of light, and it seemed to me proper that I move forward into it. I did, and as I did, there appeared in the circle opposite me, me. Myself, only better groomed, dressed in a mantled duster of black leather, not the sturdy, if stylish, canvas that I had wore. My double's pants and boots and shirt were all black as well, and they fitted him as though tailor-made, rather than off the rack. His eyes were deep-set, overshadowed by severe brows, and glittering with dark intelligence. His hair was neatly cut, and the short beard he wore emphasized the long lines of his face. The high cheekbones, the straight slash of his mouth, and the angular strength of his jaw. He stood as tall as I, as long-limbed as I, but he carried with him infinitely more confidence, raw knowledge and strength. A faint whiff of cologne drifted over to me, cutting through my own sour sweat and blood smells. My double tilted his head to one side, looked me up and down for a long minute, and then said, "Harry, you look like hell." "And you look like me," I said, and limped toward him, peering. My double rolled his eyes and shook his head. "Hell's bells, you make me sick with how thick-skulled you are sometimes." He took steps toward me, mirroring my own movements. "I don't look like you. I am you." I blinked at him for a few seconds. "You are me. How does that work?" "You're unconscious, moron," my double said to me. "We can finally talk to one another." "Oh, I get it," I said. "You're evil Harry, lurking inside good Harry, right? And you only come out at night?" "Give me a break," my double said. "If you were that simple, you'd be so insufferably boring, you'd probably blow your own head off. I'm not evil Harry. I'm just subconscious, Harry. I'm your inner voice, bub. Your intuition, your instinct, your basic animal reactions. I make up your dreams, and I decide which nightmares to pop in the old psychic VCR at night. I come up with a lot of good ideas and pass them along to you when you wake up." "So you're saying you're wiser than me? Smarter than me?" "I probably am, in a lot of ways," my double said. "But that's not my job, and it's not why I'm here." "I see. So what are you doing here, then? You're going to tell me I'm going to meet three spirits of Harry past, present, and future?" I asked. My double snorted. "That's good. That really is the banter thing. I can't do the banter very well. Maybe that's why you're in charge. Of course, if I was in charge more often, you'd get laid a lot more. But no, that's not it either." "Can we speed this thing along? I'm too tired to keep on guessing," I complained. "No joke, jerk. That's why you're asleep. But we don't have time to talk, and there are some issues we need to work through." I said issues, like a British manner. Issues. "Issues to work through," I said. What, am I my own therapist now? I turned my back on my double and started stalking out of the lighted circle. "I've had some weird dreams, but this has got to be the stupidest one yet." My double slipped around me and got in my way before I could leave the circle of light. "Hold it. You really don't want to do this." "I'm tired. I feel like shit. I'm hurt. And what I really don't want is to waste any more time dreaming about you." I narrowed my eyes at my double. "Now get out of my way." I turned to my right and started walking toward the nearest edge of the circle. My double slipped in front of me again, apparently without needing to cross the intervening space. "It isn't that simple, Harry. No matter where you go, there you are." Look, I've had a long night. I know, my double said. Believe me, I know. That's why it's important to get some of this out now, before it settles in, before you blow a gasket on your sanity, man. I'm not worried about that, I lied. I'm as solid as a brick wall, my double snorted. If you weren't getting pretty close to crazy, would you be talking to yourself right now? I opened my mouth, closed it again, shrugged. Okay, you've got a point. I've got more than that, my double said. Things have been happening to you so quickly that you haven't had time to think. You need to work through some of this, and then you need to do some hard thinking, fast. I sighed and rubbed my eyes. All right, then, I said. What do you want to hear? My double gestured, and there was Murphy, as she had appeared on the hallway of the police station, the flesh of her biceps tented out by the broken bone, her face pale, spotted with blood and streaked with tears and hopeless anguish. Murph, I said quietly, and knelt down by the image. Stars above, what have I done to you? The image, the memory, didn't hear me. She just wept, silent, bitter tears. My double knelt on the other side of the apparition. Nothing, Harry, he said. What happened at the police station wasn't your fault. Like hell it wasn't, I snarled. If I'd have been faster, gotten there sooner, or if I'd have told her the truth from the beginning. But you didn't, my double interjected. And you had some pretty damned compelling reasons not to. Ease up on yourself, man. You can't change the past. Easy for you to say, I snarled. No, it isn't, my double said quietly. Concentrate on what you will do, not what you should have done. You've been trying to protect Murphy all along, instead of making her able to protect herself. She's going to be fighting these kinds of things, Harry, and you won't always be there to babysit her. Instead of trying to play shepherd, you need to play coach, to get her into shape to do what she needs to do. But that means telling her everything, my double said. The White Council, the Never Never, all of it. The Council won't like it. If I tell her and they hear about it, they might consider her a security risk. And if you don't make her able to understand what she's fighting, something's going to eat her face some dark night. Murphy's a big girl. The Council had better be careful if they decide to go messing with her. My double considered Murphy for a moment. You should ask her out sometime, too. I should what? I said. You heard me. You're repressing big time, man. This is getting way too Freudian for me, I said, and stood up, intending to walk away again. I was confronted with the image of Susan, as she had appeared on the steps of the police station, tall in her heels and dress suit, elegant and beautiful, her face stretched with worry. Think she's going to get a good story out of this? My double asked. Oh, that's below the belt. That's not why she's seeing me. Maybe, maybe not. But you're asking yourself that question, aren't you? My double gestured to himself and to me, demonstratively. Shouldn't that make you ask a few more questions? Like what? I asked. Like how come you don't trust anyone, my double said. Not even someone like Susan, who has been going out on a limb for you tonight. He lifted a long-fingered hand and stroked at the short beard with his fingertips. I'm thinking this has to do with Elaine. How about you? And then there she was. A girl of elegant height, perhaps 18 or 19 years of age. Gawky and coltish, all long legs and arms, but with the promise of stunning beauty to add graceful curves to the lean lines of her body. She was dressed in a pair of my blue jeans, cut off at the tops of her muscled thighs, and my own t-shirt, tied off over her abdomen. A pentacle amulet, identical to my own, if less battered, lay over her heart, between the curves of her modest breasts. Her skin was pale, almost luminous. Her hair was a shade of brown gold, like ripe wheat. Her eyes a startling storm cloud gray, in contrast. Her smile lit up her face, made her eyes dance with secret fires that still, even after the years, made me draw in a sharp breath. Elaine. Beautiful, vital, and as poisonous as any snake. I turned my back on the image deliberately, before I could see it change into the Elaine I had last seen, naked, festooned in swirling paints that lent a savage aura to her skin. Her lips had been stained brilliant wet red, curving around, twisting, rolling phrases as she chanted in the mist of her circle. Its sigils meant to focus pain and fury into tangible power that had been used to hold a foolish young man helpless while his mentor offered him one last chance to sip from a chalice of fresh, hot blood. "It's been over for a long time," I said, my voice shaking. My double answered me quietly.